This is Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. One of the greatest parts of this music is the flow of talent that pours into the scene. New cats pushing the music forward. In 2022, we wanted to toast some of these musicians for a special series we call The Young Bloods, our version of, say, the Forbes 30 Under 30. So I'm here to share with you six musicians, all under 30, making names and waves over the course of two episodes, Vibes and Brass. We kick the series off with some good vibes, or vibraphonists, that is, Joel Ross, Simon Moulier, Sasha Berlin. It's pretty wild. I mean, vibes, although a very important instrument in jazz, hasn't historically been the most popular. And here we are talking about not one, not two, but three young cats who are out there crushing it. Why have the vibes become so big lately?
Probably the internet.
That's Joel Ross, the first vibraphonist we're going to check out. The Chicago-born musician has quickly become a first-call musician, topping polls, touring the globe as a sideman to the likes of Micaiah McRaven, Marquise Hill, Brandy Younger, and putting out multiple albums on Blue Note Records. Before all of that, Joel Ross was soaking up the music around him with his twin brother.
We would go to church and sit behind my godfather because he played drums, and we were just watching and learning, watching the band, how they operated. I like to understand the perspective of each instrument, what the bass is doing, what the drums is doing, understanding their roles and how they function in that individual role, how the bass and drums, the bass and horn, bass and piano, piano and drums, how each pairing can work.
Joel and his brother both picked up the drums and quickly built their chops.
My whole musical ideology came from my twin and I growing up playing in the church. We're not putting on a show for people to come watch us and listen to us. We are going to serve and to do this thing for the benefit of the entirety of everyone that's there together. And so from the beginning, my brother and I, we were just willing to do whatever was needed.
He moved towards the vibraphone at 10 and took in the melodies of the music that surrounded him at church and at home.
A lot of Motown, R&B, pop music in general. My mom listened to everything.
Let's hear the title track from Joel's debut album that pulls all of those sounds together. Dedicated to his mom, this is Kingmaker. Thank you. That was vibraphonist Joel Ross with Kingmaker, featuring Emmanuel Wilkins on alto saxophone, Jeremy Corin on piano, Benjamin Tiberio on bass, and Jeremy Dutton on drums. Hustling to make it as a jazz musician in New York City is not easy. I did it when I was 17, and it was rough, Jack. Add a big old instrument like the bass or the vibes into the mix, and it's extra tough. Joel felt all of that when he made it to the Big Apple.
It was a lot of taking the instrument somewhere late, doing the gig, tuckering yourself out, having to break it down, and then having to get back 2 a.m. to make no money because you're trying to let people know that you're here and that you can do the gigs. The first year or two in New York, or three or four, right? You know, you're really just convincing people like, hey, it's worth making music with me.
It wasn't before long that musicians did want to start making music with him. I even called Joel for a gig all the way back in 2015. There was plenty of buzz around him, all justified.
I think if people hear me, they might know it's me.
Building one sound on the vibraphone is a bit different than other instruments. There are a lot of mechanical factors that come into play. And since we're doing a whole episode on the vibes, let's break it down for you. Resembling a xylophone, the vibraphone has a set of tone bars that are laid out just like a piano keyboard, which you hit with mallets. Sometimes 2 of them if you're playing a melodic line, or 4 mallets, 2 in each hand if you're playing chords. There's also a sustain pedal, again, just like a piano, to keep notes ringing out. And the key part of the vibraphone, a motor underneath the bars that you can speed up or slow down depending on the artist's preference for vibrato. Get it? Vibraphone? One vibraphonist really leaned into that element of the instrument, Milt Jackson.
He was the archetype of the vibraphonist that I wanted to be. The fact that he matched the motor of the vibraphone, what heavily makes it such a unique mallet instrument, how he slowed the motor down to match the natural vibrato of his voice. Differing from Lionel Hampton at the time, who had the motor primarily at a higher revolution. And then Milt Jackson came in like, I'm gonna slow this down. There's the blues drenched in his sound, which I related to.
Vibraphone can be both a rhythm instrument and a frontline instrument. Joel uses that as both a sideman and as a leader.
We are trying to fight the ideology that a vibraphonist belongs in any one musical situation. Remember the day it all came crashing down. In our lobbying to convince people to work with us, we will just try to do literally as many different things as possible and try to remain adaptable. Hopefully, we can bring whatever life to your vision that you think we might be able to add. I know a lot of people think in terms of instruments when they're putting something together, and the whole ideology of like Parables, for example, is that it wasn't about the instruments, it was about the people.
He's referencing the Parables of the Poet, his third Blue Note Records album as a leader.
The band itself is based around a large group of my favorite musicians who are extremely strong. You know, musically, I brought the pieces to the band, didn't really tell them what it was about. I was like, let's play the music because I think the music speaks for itself. And from there, it was just a matter of working together as a team to figure out how to spontaneously improvise and arrange the music together.
Here's Joel and his Parables Band, featuring Emmanuel Wilkins on alto saxophone, Maria Grand on tenor, Marquise Hill on trumpet, Kalia Vandiver on trombone, Sean Mason piano, Rick Rosado bass, and Craig Weinrib on drums. This is Prayer. That was Prayer from vibraphonist Joel Ross and his 8-piece ensemble. When Jazz Night America returns, we'll meet the other vibraphonists of the Young Bloods class, Simon Moulier and Sasha Berliner.
There is definitely like a fierceness to the vibraphonists of today.
I'm Christian McBride. Welcome back to Jazz Night in America, the Young Bloods episode. I'm Christian McBride. This hour, we're vibing with three up-and-coming musicians on the scene today. Next up, a talented Frenchman.
Hi, my name is Simon Moulier. I'm a vibraphonist and composer.
At 29 years old, Simon is on a fast track to becoming a leading voice on his instrument, even crowned a rising star in Downbeat's Critics poll. And he's earned praise from mentors like Quincy Jones and Herbie Hancock. But he doesn't like to think about his accolades.
Because the music making is our... Herbie was calling it the toolbox. He's saying, all right, you can play this chord, you can play fast, you can play that. But that's just like having a hammer or having a screwdriver. Nobody cares about your toolbox. People care about what you make with it.
Simon started making music as a young kid in Nantes, in northwestern France, first on pots and pans in his family kitchen. When he was old enough to enroll in the music conservatory, he wrote down the three instruments he'd like to study.
Percussion. I knew what I wanted from the beginning. I wasn't really interested in anything else, at least at the time.
Then, at age 17, Simon took a transatlantic flight for his biggest audition yet at Berklee College of Music's summer camp in Boston.
Once I got there, I signed up as a drummer because that's the instrument I was playing the most in jazz. And yeah, the auditioning room was in a basement. And it was like an entire hallway filled with drummers on the floor, you know, like warming up on pads and things like that.
Classic. If I had a dollar for every jazz musician who wants to be the next Art Blakey or Tony Williams.
And I could feel the energy in the hallway. It was just so... It really felt like they all know how to play so much drums.
He was a bit dumbfounded by the talent around him. But Simon didn't come all this way to be rejected. He looked across the hall into another room with a vibraphone.
And there was like three people in front of it. I was like, oh, maybe I can go in there and do an okay job.
He dabbled on vibes as a classical percussionist, but never in a jazz setting. He decided to take a chance playing it anyway. So he walked into the audition completely unprepared, even asking the teacher if he could borrow some mallets.
Yeah, that was really bad. But I think at the time I didn't realize how bad it looked. And then he asked me which tunes I had prepared, and I had none. And then he asked me if I could play blue bossa or blues, and I pretty much couldn't do any of these things. The only thing I could do was play like up and down the instrument at different types of tempos.
It was enough to get him accepted. He was a natural. The following year, Simon was offered a scholarship to study the vibes. As soon as he got there, he emailed some of the celebrity teachers on staff. He wanted to join their class.
The first one that answered me was Hal Crook.
You may not know who trombonist Hal Crook is, but to those in jazz, he is a legend. Many of the greatest living jazz artists today have studied with him, including Antonio Sanchez and Esperanza Spalding.
He happened to be, at the time for me, the most terrifying one because his ensemble was some of the highest level in the school. I remember he gave me a shot at an audition, and it was a total disaster. I still remember the time and the day. It was a Thursday at 3 p.m., and I came in, and it was only older students. He was like, okay, so let's just play some standards. I didn't even know any standards. No, sorry, I can't play this. I don't know that. I don't know that. I don't know that. And then he was like, okay, well, can you read? No, I'm not going to be able to read chord changes just yet. And then he looked at me and he said, so what can you do?
He could improvise.
And he loved that. He was like, man, that was great. Now I just need to learn the rest and you can stay in this ensemble.
Simon was in shock. He couldn't believe he was offered the opportunity, but he couldn't accept it. he felt he needed to learn the basics first.
That whole event really gave me the fire to try to be able to do any of that stuff.
In his senior year, he finally returned to Hal.
And he's like, ah, you finally came back. And so then he's like, all right, can you play this now?
Simon's come a long way. Funny enough, he went from knowing no standards to fully embracing them.
I started like loving it, you know, I really started to love playing melodies and also a really good vehicle to work on things. Sound, on articulation, on odd meters. Standards are just a great material, so I've been working on them.
Let's listen to one of those standards. From Simon Moulier's album titled Inception, this is Billy Strayhorn's Lush Life. That was vibraphonist Simon Moulier performing Lush Life. When Simon plays, he says he's not thinking about other vibraphonists. Instead, he's taking cues from piano legends like Art Tatum and Thelonious Monk.
They just have something when they play an instrument, they transcend it to the maximum, and then it just starts sounding like them, you know? So you don't really hear the instrument anymore, and you just hear this one voice.
Moulier even finds inspiration way outside of his percussive musical family.
Horn players are like one of the main influence in the way I approach music. I've always been driven to kind of try to make the vibe sound like a horn instrument. If you're transcribing Clifford Brown, you know, and he bends a note, that's physically not possible with the instrument. So you can spend as much time as you want. This note is not going to bend, you know what I mean? But that's when you come up with a creative way of going around it.
One way he does this is also using his voice when his mallets strike.
A lot of those things that I hear from the horn players, I hear them also in my head, and I really try to execute them. So while I'm playing, it kind of naturally just comes out. Sometimes I wish it didn't, but most of the time it does.
Let's hear one more from Simon, an original composition he calls Empress of the Sea. Empress of the Sea from Simon Moulier's record Isla, featuring the vibraphonist with Lex Corton on piano, Alexander Claffey on bass, and J.K. Kim on drums. When Jazz Night America returns, we'll take one more take on the vibes with Sasha Berliner. I'm Christian McBride. I'm Christian McBride, and this is Jazz Night in America. Back with our final young blood, a modern musician on her own path.
I'm Sasha Berliner. I'm from San Francisco, California. I'm a vibraphonist, composer, band leader, arranger. There's this notion that you have to sound like someone who came before you, and certainly I can play that way, but a lot of my favorite artists, ultimately, they just sound like themselves. That's true for me as well. It's me, that's what I sound like.
Sasha has made quite a splash since arriving in Manhattan to study at the New School. We were first introduced to her when she took the stage at New York's Winter Jazz Fest back in 2018.
That was one of my first major gigs in New York City. I was excited. I was so nervous. I'm 19 years old, and I'm like, I'm not ready for this.
Her professor, the esteemed vibraphonist Stefan Harris, would disagree. He identified Sasha's talent from the very beginning and helped her liberate her unique style on the instrument.
He would push me pretty hard, like identifying really complicated harmony by ear. He has a system of doing all of that by tying in these chords to their emotional qualities. You might commonly hear like major is happy or minor is sad, but even in the major world and in the minor world, it can get more complex than that. It helped me to not only internalize and understand how to better use more complex harmony, but it also helped me to become a better composer. What emotions am I trying to get my listeners to pick up on?
Let's listen to one of Sasha's compositions. This is Polaris. Thank you. That was Polaris from Sasha Berliner's 2022 recording, Onyx. Featuring the vibraphonist with Jaleel Shaw on alto saxophone, James Francis on piano, Bernice Travis II on bass, and Marcus Gilmore on drums. Like Joel Ross and Simon Moulier, Sasha Berliner also got her start holding two drumsticks. But as fate would have it, the Oakland School for the Arts in the Bay Area didn't need any more drummers. But they did have a spot for a vibraphonist.
I didn't know what it was. I hadn't ever played it before. I've never touched it. I don't know how to approach it. I don't really know anything melodic. I know how to find a major triad and a minor triad in like three keys.
So she effectively crammed, spent the summer taking vibraphone lessons before she went to school.
The first thing I learned was Bag's Groove. You know, got me introduced to Milt Jackson. Learning what dominant scales were and like the blues scale. It was so fun and so exciting. It all kind of started falling into place there. Then it became my thing.
Her first major influence on the instrument was Gary Burton. So you can imagine her excitement when her parents took her to see him at the Blue Note Jazz Club in New York City during her sophomore year in high school.
I remember just being like starstruck and trying to introduce myself to Gary, and I'm just speechless. I don't know what to say to him.
Gary Burton is no joke when it comes to the vibraphone, especially for his game-changing four-mallet technique, also known as the Burton grip. It's a cross grip with the outer mallet above the inner mallet. The index finger controls intervals. You got that? The Burton grip has become the preferred technique for many modern vibraphonists, including Sasha. But she says the method also has its challenges.
If you push yourself too hard, especially to be heard in terms of projection, you can get blisters really easily. And I'm just not a very big person, right? I'm like 5'2" and under 120 pounds. And my hands are pretty small. I don't have the physical strength, no matter like how good or solid a technique can be able to project well enough over like a loud band with four mallets.
Whether she decides to use two mallets or four, one aspect of her creative process remains the same: keeping an open mind, especially as a composer.
I don't really like being pinned down to one aspect or another. I like to do everything, and everything gives me ideas.
Let's go out with one more from Sasha's sophomore album, Onyx, an original composition she calls Jade.
Thank you.
That was Jade from vibraphonist Sasha Berliner, featuring Jaleel Shaw on alto saxophone, James Francis on piano, Bernice Travis II on bass, and Marcus Gilmore on drums. Jazz Night in America is a production of WBGO Studios and NPR Music. This week's episode was written and produced by Sarah Gilletti and Trevor Smith. Episode mixed by Ron Scalzo. Our Young Bloods theme was produced by Radar Ellis. Our video team includes Nikki Birch and Mitra Arthur. Saraya Muhammad is our project manager. Keith Jenkins is the vice president of visuals and strategy at NPR Music. Executive producer, Anya Grundman. I'm Christian McBride.